From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Well, with all the smoke in the air leading to really poor air quality, a lot of folks are just hunkering down inside right now. So maybe you need to know what to watch this weekend while you're sitting inside, hopefully with some air conditioning. Well, our very own movie critic and host of Morning Edition, George Prentice, is joining us right now to give us some ideas. George, we need some help here.
Oh boy, I am right with you. I'm sorry, but closing the windows right in August seems insane, but we've got to stay indoors.
I know. I feel like it might as well be winter at this point. You know? I mean, yeah. Stuck inside, can't see anybody. The windows are closed.
Ugh.
You know, it's all gloomy outside. Okay, so really? I need you to give us some inspiration here. So let's talk a little bit about maybe what to watch on your TV, because I mean, some people might be going out to the movies, but it would be nice to find some interesting stuff on television. And you are suggesting we take a look at the real Godfather?
You know, once upon a time, they were just called wise guys or tough guys, right? But but then The Godfather, the book, came out in the 60s and the 70s. I didn't realize it when I was a kid. I grew up in upstate New York. I didn't realize that I was living among mobsters. It turned out many years later, we found out that Stefano Magadino had his own family in town. And Valachi, the famous Valachi papers, the guy who turned state evidence on the mafia, when he died, they moved his body to our town just to tick off the mafia. Anyway, so the fascination was everywhere. But then this book, right, Mario Puzo's The Godfather, changed everything. And then the movie really changed the culture. But there is a really, really good docuseries coming up about the real American Godfathers. And there were actually five families. This is a three-part, six-hour documentary on the History Channel, and it explores the inception, how they gained power, their rise, and their fall. They are nothing anywhere near as powerful as they were. But let's take a listen on how the Godfathers really controlled the latter half of the 20th century.
Loan sharking, prostitution.
Gambling, hijacking.
They took over the docks.
They got away with everything.
They came here to a life that was not really much better.
They decided, we're going to do it our way.
This was a secret society.
I respectfully declined to answer.
They were so powerful when The Godfather was made. They made sure the word mafia would never be used in it.
A lot of the guys were becoming too high profile.
Organized crime became a ground zero for law enforcement.
More informants are coming forth to put the mob away.
We did not want to spend the rest of our lives in jail.
This is the story of the rise and fall of the most infamous mafia families of all time.
Every family of every member of this life is destroyed.
Did you know that the mafia had so much power that they convinced Paramount Pictures not to use the word mafia in the movie The Godfather?
Huh.
It's stunning.
I had no idea.
Right. So this starts this Sunday on the History Channel, and it's really well done because it's got archival footage, audio recordings, and interviews with people who have never, quote unquote, gone on the record before. So there are a lot of people who think The Godfather is one of the great American movies of all time. Mm-hmm. If you are into this, you will really be into this new short series. It's a three-parter, and it's called American Godfathers. It starts this weekend on the History Channel.
Okay, so another documentary you're suggesting is, this is about a passenger jet, but a regional pilot, what takes control of the plane?
Do you remember this? The terror that took hold of an Alaska Airlines flight? It was just a year ago when an off-duty pilot, he was sitting in the jump seat. I think a lot of us know that's that extra seat in the cockpit. He was on psychedelic mushrooms, but he took control of that plane. And here's a little bit of the actual air-to-ground communication. Let's just listen to just a moment of this after the pilot's got control back of this plane. Let's listen.
Okay, I'll just give you a heads up. We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down out of the cockpit, and he doesn't sound like he's causing any issue in the back right now. I think he's subdued. Other than that, yeah, we want law enforcement as soon as we get on the ground and park.
So calm. We want law enforcement on the ground. And you may remember this pilot was charged with 83 counts of attempted murder.
Right.
Right? And it's a stunning look at some of the backstory of who this pilot was, the events of that day. So the New York Times, which recently has just been producing some pretty good documentaries for television, the New York Times presents Lie to Fly. Lie to Fly is the name of this, and it is coming up on FX later this month. You can stream it, but you want to look for this. The New York Times presents Lie to Fly. It is chilling, and it was right in our neighborhood, right? Because they landed that plane over in Portland.
Oh, right. No, as soon as you started talking about Georgia, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this.
Can you imagine being on that plane?
No. Well, and I think part of it too is that so many people here in our area fly Alaska Airlines so regularly, right?
It's the number one airline in the Boise airport.
Right. So you think about that, and then what happened here. And this is, I think it's interesting, George, because when this happened, I thought, okay, this pilot somehow, I mean, they have to be off. Like something had to have been going on. Why in the world would they be doing that? So to know now that he was on psychedelic mushrooms.
Because he had some mental issues, but
yes.
I didn't know what to think when I watched this. I was nervous. I wanted to know more. I'm glad I do know more. But access to that jump seat has now changed because of this incident.
As it should.
As it should.
Yeah. As it should.
Yeah.
Okay, George, there's been a lot going on in politics.
Let's just
say that. There's just been a lot going on in really only the last 2.5 weeks. But even before that, we had the Republican National Convention, less than a month ago, right?
We've got the DNC coming up in a couple of weeks, but I think for the most part, these are fairly orchestrated shows.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of boring, but I took a deep dive into the archives, and I remember a couple of conventions where things really went off the rails on live television. So I'm going to take you back to 1968, the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, and so Walter Cronkite was the anchor of CBS News. Mm-hmm. So he's up in the booth, right? And if you remember, they had floor reporters, and Dan Rather was one of those floor reporters. And things did not go well for Dan live on CBS. Let's take a listen. This is 1968.
Take your hands off of me.
Dan Rather.
Unless you intend to arrest me, don't push me, please.
Sir,
I know you won't, but don't push me. Take your hands off of me unless you intend to arrest me.
Wait a minute.
Walter, as you can see,
I don't know what's going on, but these are security people apparently around Dan.
Walter,
and obviously getting roughed up.
We tried to talk to the man, and we got bodily pushed out of the way. This is the kind of thing that's been going on outside the hall. This is the first time we've had it happen inside the hall. I'm sorry to be out of breath, but somebody belted me in his stomach doing that. What happened is a Georgia delegate, at least he had a Georgia delegate sign on, was being hauled out of the hall. We tried to talk to him to see why, who he was, and what the situation was. And at that instant, the security people... Well, as you can see, put me on the deck. I didn't do very well.
I think we've got a bunch of thugs here, Dan. If I may be permitted to say so.
Well, mind you, Walter, I'm all right. It's all in a day's work.
Well, I saw the performance, and it didn't look very good from here, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Dan, for staying in there, pitching despite every handicap that they can possibly put in our way from free flow of information at this Democratic National Convention.
Can you imagine Walter Cronkite saying,
wow,
I think we've got a couple of thugs down on the floor of
I know. Well, National and then Dan
Convention.
Rather saying, it's all in a day's work. I'm like, oh, Dan, no, it's not.
No, it's not. But, I do yearn for these days. So I want it. So not to be done, I've got something from the Republican Convention. This was 1964. I think the convention was in San Francisco that year, and John Chancellor was a floor correspondent, Huntley Brinkley up in the booth when this happened.
Well, I'd come in if I could, David, but I wonder that I may be under arrest. And we were waiting to do an interview in the Alaska delegation, and two of the sergeant's arms came along and said, you'll have to clear the aisle. And we said we were working, and they said that didn't make any difference to them. So I sat down, whereupon a policeman, badge number 21 from the Daly City Police, there are now two policemen here, came and tried to eject me forcibly, I think is what they'll say on the blotter. Am I going to be carried out?
Yes.
I beg your pardon?
You'll be removed by orders of the sergeant-at-arms.
This is John Chancellor, somewhere in custody.
This is John Chancellor, somewhere in custody. And I have to admit, if you look at the old clips, Huntley and Brinkley are trying to hold back their laughter, and David Brinkley in his dry sense of humor says, well, John, stay in touch. Well, you'll make bail somehow.
Anyway,
back in the days, these conventions used to be rather entertaining. Something to think about as we look forward to another one.
Oh my gosh, that is too funny, George.
Yeah.
Okay. A really popular show is the Antique Roadshow, George. Mm. And some people may know or may not know that it has taken a trip to Boise in the past.
So 2022. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you've got some sound here because, I think it's always really exciting when the Antique Roadshow shows up somewhere, right? Mm. Because it is. It's kind of like, well, is grandma's, picture frame that she left me really worth $1 million? She said it was.
Yeah.
And then it's worth like 5 cents. But anyway.
So this was at the Idaho Botanical Garden when they came in 2022. And by the way, so Idaho Public Television, this Friday and next Friday, they're going to be presenting what is called Antique Roadshow Recut. So these are going to be the highlights of when Antique Roadshow came to Boise. And they're going to have two episodes back-to-back, two half-hour episodes this Friday evening, next Friday evening. But I reached out to Idaho Public Television. I said, can you give us a taste or two to remind us? So here is one. I want to play a couple of these. Here is one that revealed an amazing coincidence. Two people who had never met before, and one woman came up to the experts with some memorabilia from her father. Let's listen.
So I brought some of my dad's World War II memorabilia. He was a Dutch Jedburgh, a special ops soldier, and he jumped with General Gavin of the 82nd Airborne. They were the first two to land. My dad was walking point, and he spotted a machine gunist in a tree and shot him before the machine gunners had a chance to shoot General Gavin.
So when I walked up here, you're hanging out with our volunteer.
Yeah.
And how do you guys know each other? Did you come together?
I'd never met you before today.
I can confirm that. Yeah, one of the things I was carrying had an 82nd Airborne insignia on it, and he commented on it.
So I said, 82nd Airborne. And you said your dad had jumped into Holland. And I said, what parachute regiment? And she said, he wasn't in a parachute regiment. He was Dutch. And I said, what's your dad's name? Because, of course, I know the story that he saved my grandfather's life. Because my grandfather was General Gavin. And she said, it was Ari Brestaburgi. And it was like, when she first said, my father saved General Gavin's life, I'm a little suspicious because there are a lot of stories about my grandfather. And then she said it was Ari Brestaburgi. I said, yes, he did save my grandfather's life.
Have you ever had this stuff appraised? Have you had it looked at?
No. I just took the box from my dad's house and brought it to Boise, and I haven't opened it for 25 years.
But you know what these wings represent.
Well, they're his special force insignia.
Exactly.
I know that. I do know that.
So from a value perspective, this is interesting and wonderful, but the meat of the value of what you brought today is right here in those three wings.
Really?
A retail price for those three, because on their own they would be wonderful, but because they're him, they're a little better than average.
I am not going to spoil it. but you've got to watch to find out what the amount is. Real quick.
Come on, George.
No way. We've got to watch Friday night. So I've got one more real quick. This one involves a bottle of cognac. Let's listen.
This bottle of cognac was given to my father-in-law on his 50th birthday from a Basque friend of his. That was in 1959. And I have just had it at the house for all these years until my daughter and her husband came to visit on Thanksgiving. And he said, "Hey, what's in this green box?" And I said, "You know, I'm not sure. I don't remember." And he opened it and he said, "I think you have a treasure here."
Would you mind just reading me the description on the label here?
"This cognac, Grande Champagne, has been served at the royal banquet offered to their majesties, King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, at the Chateau de Versailles on July 21st, 1938. It is the finest brandy procurable, E. Remy Martin and Company."
Remy Martin is a particularly fine cognac, and this being a vintage cognac makes it rather special. But it's not just the contents of the bottle that makes it so special. Mm-hmm. The bottle itself is made, we're fairly sure, by Baccarat, who are well-known makers, and it's a particularly fine example. And this is typical Baccarat style. We look at the detailing on the sides, and there are fleur-de-lis patterns here as well. The value of it is enhanced greatly by the fact that you've never actually opened it. You rarely find these bottles with the contents still inside. I think it's far too tempting for people to open them. And if you were to open this, not that I'd necessarily recommend it at this point, I think you'd find that it would be a very nice drink. I would certainly say you should insure it for...
Not gonna tell you. No spoiler alert here, but again, these all happened here in Boise on the Antique Roadshow. Antique Roadshow Recut is going to be this Friday and next Friday featuring their visit to Boise.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.